Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
What a week we've got lined up for you here. We had a great show in Missoula yesterday, a great event last night in Missoula. We had retired Border Patrol Chief Chris Clem, and let me tell you, this guy is a warfighter. I know you guys got to hear him for just a few minutes on the show yesterday, but man, it was just an information-packed border security rally last night in Missoula. We've got another one coming tonight in Kalispell, 6:30 p.m., Reality at the Border with retired Border Patrol Agent Chief Clem, as we're here not too far from the northern border. And, of course, the northern border, we had more suspected terrorists, known and suspected terrorists that were caught in the northern border here in recent months than were even caught on the southern border. And that's, of course, the ones that were caught. How many were included in the unknown gotaways, or the 1.8 million known gotaways here in recent years as well. Anyway, great show for you this morning. We better jump right into it because we've got a whole bunch of great folks here to join us on the microphone. Sarge, you're first up here in this statewide 9 o'clock hour. Good to see you, and thanks for your service.
Well, I appreciate being here, and as always, thank you for what you guys do. It's an honor to get to talk to you again. Just what Fred said, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scene, unknown people that you don't know about, you know, and I really appreciate the spec op guys that come out and, you know, making it known what's going on. But there's a lot of things go on behind the scenes with unknown people. And I just want to maybe have the people to remember these guys, you know, and you'll never know their names. You never know what they did or where they were at. But they're making a big impact. And along that line, seen a lot, did a lot, learned a lot. I just want to encourage our representatives. They represent. They're not our leaders. They represent us. Right. And I want to encourage our representatives. A wise man surrounds himself with wise people, takes wise counsel. So, you know, I don't know everything. I had to learn from the team medic. I had to learn from the team comm guy, and we, you know, and so you learn. And I just want to encourage our representatives to surround themselves with wise people, but not only wise people, but moral people. People, you know, there's evil wisdom and there's moral wisdom, you know, and I just want to encourage our representatives and our people, you know. I became a Christian in the service. I got saved, a jarhead, a leatherneck, invited me to a Bible study, and I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. It's been a big difference, but, I just want to encourage people, you know, to surround themselves with moral people, and that anybody that believes infanticide or a boy's not a boy and a girl's not a girl, there's something wrong there. That's not moral wisdom. That's evil wisdom.
It's crazy times that we're living in
so
right
I just
now,
wanna,
isn't it?
Yeah. I just want to...
Well, we got to take a quick break, but stand by, Sarge, and we'll come back to you if you can. I know you might have to pop out for a phone call here shortly, but stand by. We'll come back to you right after the break, and then we've got Francis and Big Fork. We've got Flathead County Commissioner.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah, that website, by the way, if you want to go to the border security rally tonight at the Hilton Garden Inn in Kalispell, go to secureborderSecureMontana.com. All the details. You can register for a free ticket there as well. I know we're going to see Frances and Big Fork there. She wants to say hi to everybody here in just a second also. But first, let's go back to Sarge. Sarge, thanks for joining us. Yeah, earlier we caught up with one of our listeners, Frank from the Flathead. Actually, his name's Fred,
Fred
but
yeah.
For some reason we started calling him Frank, and he just rolled with it. But what an interesting contrast. I mean, not a contrast, but a similarity When Border Patrol Chief Chris Clem was talking in Missoula last night, he was talking about the record suicide that they're seeing amongst Border Patrol agents. And just the toll that these attacks are taking on them, the toll that the workload, the stress load is taking on them. I mean, they're on constant deployment cycles. And then to be attacked by our own government and lied about, claiming that they're whipping migrants. And that's taking a toll on our Border Patrol agents. But it just, that betrayal that our Border Patrol agents have got to feel after decades of sacrifice securing our borders, the men who died securing our borders. Yeah. And laid in the dirt. But then we saw this disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. I think you were serving when we saw the fall of Saigon. And it's just this betrayal that our military service members, veterans have felt, along with our Border Patrol agents. It's pretty compelling, isn't it?
Yes, sir. There's two things. There's truth and there's lies. I mean, I appreciate you guys holding up the truth. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be getting the truth out. And I just want to encourage you, keep holding up the truth. It's a biblical principle. You know, the Bible says truth, it lies dead in the street. God was talking to his people Israel, truth lies dead in the street. But you guys can pick up the truth and hold it. And then we as Christians, me as a Christian and other Christians, we need to hold forth the truth of God's word. And then there's lies. Satan's the father of lies. We see, you know, lies, deception. We see deception rampant among us in all areas of our economy, geopolitical, even in the religious realm, there's all kind of lies. And so we have to know the truth. And so I want to encourage you guys, keep holding up the truth in the geopolitical realm, the economics, and the things that are going on in the physical realm. And then we as Christians, we need to hold up the truth of God's word and let them, you know, let people decide. You're either going to go with the truth or you're going to fall for a lie. It's your choice.
Up is down, yeah. Left is right, man is woman is man. My goodness.
Yep.
But also part of that, too, is accountability. That's why we love taking phone calls. We love having microphones open because anybody can come up here and say, hey, you're wrong, or I disagree with you, and here is why. And so there's that accountability piece to it, too. Well, Sarge, thanks for your service.
No, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Let's link you. I want to get you linked up with the Devil's Brigade chapter of the Special Forces Association. Some great, great folks a part of that that association. Great to see you. Francis in Big Fork, always. You're like our official greeter to the Flathead.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't think so, but I love this show because you do tell the truth. And, you know, we got like liars like Tester. And, you know, every time he opens his mouth, something bad comes out. You know, he's for the border. Well, you know he isn't, because everything he votes for is against it. And we got to get Sheehy in and all our other Republicans. Sometimes they fight, but we got to get them all together to get rid of. And the Supreme Court is horrible. We got Montana.
The state Supreme Court, yeah.
Yeah, it's, and we need to get Corey Swanson and Wilson, Dan Wilson, voted in.
I see a bunch of sheriffs. Where did I see this story at? A bunch of sheriffs here have come out and endorsed Corey Swanson in particular for Chief Justice of the Montana Supreme Court. So there you go, some sheriffs who want to see the rule of law instead of this silly putty gumbo thing they got going on at the Montana State Supreme Court right now. Yeah, this is an opinion column in the Flathead Beacon apparently this morning. Yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, you got to keep fighting.
You're going to like Chief Clem tonight. He's a fighter. You're a fighter. You two are going to be right on the same level.
Well, especially since my husband was a Border Patrolman.
Really?
Yeah.
Up in Plentywood when you were living in Plentywood? Or?
Well, no, that's where he started. We went to California, like by Chula Vista, and then we moved to Detroit, and then Portal, North Dakota, and Columbus, North Dakota, Browning, Shelby. So we've been all over.
That's kind of that analogy with military families. I mean,
yeah, you move and move.
The sacrifices of these spouses of Border Patrol agents, too. I mean, you know, that's something else that isn't thought about.
Yeah. Well, look how many schools my son went to. I mean, three different ones in California, two different places in Detroit, and, you know, and went to Lignite and Portal.
But you were probably treated with respect by both parties back then, weren't you?
Yes, it was very different. And my husband, the worst thing he could feel now is that they couldn't do their work. They couldn't. Now they can't catch the getaways because they're processing and letting all these people in. And that's driving the Border Patrol nuts.
So I think about your family's sacrifice. Yeah. Your sacrifice as a Border Patrol spouse. There's military spouses out there that sacrifice time away.
Yeah.
Taking care of the kids, taking care of this, moving time and time again. Gone on deployments to the southern border. Gone on deployments overseas. And, I mean, do you agree that it's a betrayal on both fronts?
Yes. And now with Biden, he's just a terrible person and a communist because he's letting all the Chinese in. Thousands of men.
Chief Clem shared the numbers last night. A few years ago, there was like 400-something Chinese nationals that crossed our border. It's over 30,000. I can't remember the exact number. Tens and tens of thousands of Chinese nationals. And we know that China is not too friendly to the United States right now. We'll get to the commissioner, Commissioner Abel, right after this.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, Maldonado Gigante. Eric Maldonado, you better come grab this cigar here before somebody takes it. That's the Flathead Lake Monster. It's got this green Flathead Lake Monster on it. Big Sky Cigar Company does it. Friends at Stogie's went down there and got that one before hitting the road here. But they wanted to call it the Flathead Lake Monster Cigar, but I think CAO already has the Flathead Cigar, so there was a copyright thing. But either way, but at least they got, at least the imagery is of the Flathead Lake Monster. All right. Hopefully that'll scare some of the tourists away here a little bit, free up some dock space for you on the lake this summer. We've got Flathead County Commissioner Brad Abel in the house this morning. Commissioner, thanks for coming over.
You bet. Good morning, Aaron.
Morning, yeah.
Great, beautiful day in the Flathead.
It really is. I know. It's like, I was just saying the other day, it's like, we got to figure out a way to where I can work out of the studio here just like I work out of our home studio so that we can just come here for 2 weeks, a month, whatever, permanently. I don't know, you know.
Well, you're welcome here anytime.
Yeah.
Well, it's a tough act to follow. I got Francine to follow.
Frances is, she's a tough cookie, that's for
Frances
sure.
Frances is a staple here in the Flathead. We see her all over the place. Every week I get to see her.
That's great. Well, what drove you to the show today? What do you want to tell folks across? I mean, I could pepper you with a bunch of questions, but we open up the mics to anybody because we want to hear what you want to talk about.
Well, there's a multitude of things going on in the Flathead right now. We just got word last Friday we had shut down our grandstands. It hadn't been inspected for years. There's a state law that says it has to be, I don't know if it's a state law or a federal law, grandstands have to be inspected every year. We brought a company in out of Missouri. We had trouble with an old wood grandstand built 100 and some years ago, and they inspected it. They found a few little problems, but it looks like we're going to be able to get it up and running for fair time, which is good news. There was concerns we were... You know, it's settling into the mud and some things are happening, but they look like we got a short punch list that we got to have, and we got a company coming on that's willing to do the work, and I think they can get it done by fair time.
That's good news because I know some other folks have lost their grandstands because of safety and maintenance issues, and there's a lot of people that want to see those rebuilt because there's just something about the grandstands at the fair. You guys have a great fair. In fact, last year, man, you had huge numbers. For livestock, for kids' livestock, and it just showed the strength of agriculture here in the Flathead Valley as well.
Right, and that's, you know, but you get, you know, 5,000 people standing in the grandstands, and then they get stomping their feet or something. There's a tremendous amount of weight there. I mean, there are concerns, but, yeah, the fair is important for our youth here. That flat stock sale, we went over $1 million last year. You know, that's where our future leaders come from, those youth programs, our 4-H, our FFA, and those kind of things. So that's very important to me in the Flathead. We're moving ahead on, we got, after 2.5 years of study, we're putting, 2.5 years of trying, we're getting mag chloride treatments on the North Fork Road for about 10 miles there, that lower section that goes through a bunch of public ground. We're using some money off some timber sales that they've allowed up there to help the tourists and the locals that travel that road. It's dusty. It helps us maintain our roads. We just did a state-sponsored, well, state-mandated audit of our primary elections. We audit six precincts, four major races, plus two state house races. We came back about 6 hours of counting and 25 people involved, and it's a check on our tabulator system. We came back to the penny on that. We weren't off one vote on any race by the time we got done counting, and had some volunteers came in and helped us out. Which,
that's good to hear, because I remember auditing elections and auditing elections offices. They made it sound like this was some grand conspiracy. It's like every business out there does audits and things like this. But, oh, no, if you want to audit an election, they want to call you crazy.
And we did audit. We audit the ballots that go in. We didn't check on who was voting, but we checked the ballots that were put into the tabulator. Those counts matched the numbers that came out. And we sat there. Fellow Commissioner Pam Holmquist and I were the validation judges, and so people would bring their numbers to us, and we'd check them, and if they weren't right, we'd send them back and tell them to go count again, and we wouldn't tell them what was wrong, but they'd come back, and they finally figured out, you know, where they'd done it. So it was an honest deal. I mean, if I'm not saying there isn't election fraud goes on in this country, but it isn't. I don't believe it's happening in the Flathead Valley.
Well, and the thing that Montana, what we had in 2020 that was being removed or overlooked or deliberately they weren't checking and they were refusing to check was signature verification. And that was a key hallmark that we still maintain despite these attacks on some of our other election integrity measures. Anything else you want to share? And again, thanks for coming down.
Nope, that's what I see. I mean, those are the issues that are going on today. Tomorrow there'll be another raft of them, but that's great.
I was going to say, because I know, well, we'll have to get you back on when I'm back in studio, because we could talk a whole bunch of things from growth, managing growth, the transient issue. We did a big show at Missoula yesterday, and that issue's coming to a head down in Missoula once again. And so all sorts of things.
We have a lot of people from the Flathead's pretty influential in the politics across the state of Montana. Right. We got great guys like Matt Regeer, former speaker. Now he's going to be a senator. John Fuller, all these great guys that come from the Flathead. The Flathead is a force to be reckoned with in state politics.
That's right. Well, that's why I'm looking forward to seeing a bunch of folks show up at that border security rally tonight as well, to not only just get the great information, but also to send a message of how important border security is right now. Commissioner, great to see you. Thanks for dropping in.
Good to see you. Thank you.
Yeah. Speaking of some of these great, strong leaders up here in the Flathead, next up we got State Senator John Fuller, Vietnam veteran, former school teacher, school superintendent, and Montana lawmaker as well. Senator Fuller, great to see you as always. Thanks for your service. Welcome home. Got to say that to all our Vietnam veterans out there. Was that you that was telling me, was your wife Border Patrol?
That is correct. She retired after 21 years with the U.S. Border Patrol. Oh, I don't want to, I might age her if I tell her how many years ago that was, but, and I, God knows I don't want to do that. But anyway, thank you for having me, and thanks for coming to the Flathead again, Aaron. Thank you very much, and thanks for all you do. What I'd like to talk about a little bit is what people can expect from the upcoming legislative session in January of 2025, it's going to be contentious, as they all are. We're looking at possibly a surplus again, and of course, whenever there's a surplus, there will be vitriol, because there are so many good causes on which to spend it, your taxpayer monies. But as I see it, the big issues, the hot-button issues are going to be judicial reform, illegal immigration, of course, but then the money issues are going to be Medicaid expansion is due to be expire in 2026, so that it will be on the agenda as for its extension. And of course, that means lots of money. even though the advocates point out to the fact that the federal government pays 90%, we only pay 10%, but the federal government's running out of money, and that's going to be one. And then, of course, there will be a big issue regarding early childhood education. What the Democrats called it earlier under the Bullock administration was pre-K, pre-kindergarten education. Now they're calling it early childhood education, and of course, all the more to spend your taxpayer dollars. So more and more in that arena.
Yeah.
But
go ahead before I interject.
I'd just like to give an unsolicited endorsement of Tim Sheehy. The vitriol and the method by which John Tester, who is for 24 years, has followed the exact same pattern. Some of you might remember, old enough to remember, when he won his first primary for U.S. Senator against John Morrison. What he did was how he attacked him was absolutely reprehensible and egregious.
And then lied about Conrad Burns. There's a pattern with this Tester character, isn't there?
Yes, there is.
But now he's shamefully attacking a fellow veteran. And I just saw a headline here about, film and TV crews spent $334 million in Montana. I don't see John Tester attacking film and TV crews that come here. But if you're a veteran who serves your country and then comes back and hires other veterans, he'll attack you. Wow. And where were you while we were sitting on a mountainside in Afghanistan and didn't have food at the chow hall when we got back? Where were you, John Tess? Were you at the Bistro B or were you at the Bistro Cacao? Yeah. Having another one of your $1.2 million restaurant tab bills, right?
It's like, what is it? Exactly. In my 45 years as an educator, coach, in my role as a platoon leader, squad leader in sunny Southeast Asia, I consider myself to be fairly objective. And an objective evaluation of Tim Sheehy is he is an incredibly bright young man. He is a quick study. He is very capable. And he is a dedicated patriot. And I want to tell Mr. Tester and his public relations people, you are, you're tugging the tail of the tiger when you come after in the despicable fashion of attacking the integrity of an honorable patriot like Tim Sheehy.
Tugging at the tail of the tiger. I like that one. I say they were kicking the hornet's nest with attacking veterans the way they're attacking veterans, but I like that tugging the tail of the tiger. That's great. Senator Fuller, great to see you as always. I look forward to seeing you tonight. Secure Border, SecureMontana.com. If you want to know the details, the location, get a ticket. It's at the Hilton Garden Inn in Kalispell, right down the street. Frank Mealy, the great columnist, Frank Mealy, just had a great column at RealClearPolitics.com, and he's got the Heartland Diary USA blog. We'll get to Frank right after this.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordland.
The latest cattle on feed report came out this past week, and it shows that the June 1 total came in at 11.6 million head. That number slightly below June 1st of last year. Placements and feedlots during May totaled 2.05 million head, 4% above 2023. Feedlot placements were 1.98 million head, while fed cattle marketings in May reached 1.96 million head, slightly higher than 2023.
Join the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. NCBA is the oldest and largest national cattle industry organization working to defend your interests in Washington, D.C. And there are big benefits to being a member. You get news you can use in the National Cattlemen, email updates in the NCBA Beef Bulletin, plus big discounts only for NCBA members. Join by calling 866-233-3872 or online at ncba.org.
USDA's latest milk production report shows that during May, milk production totaled 18.9 billion pounds, down 0.7% from May of last year. April's revised production now reached 18.3 billion pounds, while production per cow averaged 2,122 pounds for May, 3 pounds below May 2023. I'm Lane Northland. Have a great day.
The This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, got to finish my protein bar here real quick there. You're taking advantage of the break, getting to meet so many great folks here. And I see we've got actually retired Border Patrol Chief Chris Clem. For those of you that are here at Penco Power Products, checking out all the cool toys, the four-wheelers, the side-by-sides, the dirt bikes, the e-bikes, the snowmobiles, the jet skis. Chief Clem is out front now as well, so maybe we'll wrap up the show with a quick word from Chief Clem as well before that border security rally tonight here in Kalispell. Frank Mealy. Frank, it's always great to see you. We could do a whole two-hour show, four-hour podcast, a whole hour-long show, whatever, with you. But, man, you just wrote a piece, realclearpolitics.com, how Trump can win the debate. But let's start with Montana. We're a Montana first kind of show. What's your perspective on this Senate race? Everything that I'm hearing is the polling is neck and neck right now, which is amazing because Chuck Schumer has been spending millions and millions of dollars attacking Tim Sheehy in the race, and yet he hasn't knocked him out of the race. Yeah. Kind of interesting.
Well, you and John covered a lot of ground telling the truth about John Tester. For me, it comes down to eight words that tell the truth about John Tester. One is when he says, Tester worked with Republicans to secure the border. That one tells the truth because he did not work with anybody to secure the border. He got his name on a bill, voting for a bill that wasn't going to secure the border, but which Democrats have, you know, presented to the public as a true immigration reform bill. It was nothing like that. It would have destroyed border security. And the eight words in particular that I'm thinking of that tell the truth about John Tester is, I'm John Tester, and I approve this message. Because his campaign, the advertising against Tim Sheehy and the character assassination, the fact that he says, I approve that, tells me immediately, I cannot vote for this guy. Now, obviously, I'm not going to vote for a crazy Democrat anyway, but for an average human being, listening to the swill that they put out about Tim Sheehy, and then saying, I support that, he's eliminated himself from serious contention.
That's an important point, if you don't mind me just underscoring that for a moment, because I've worked in campaigns, I've worked in Capitol Hill, and then, of course, media, you know, military deployments, things like that. And typically, if you're the candidate, you don't want to be the one attacking. You let other people do the attacking, right? Mm-hmm. This shows that how desperate John Tester is right now because he is the one who is, I approve of this attacking,
right.
This shameless attacking of a combat veteran.
I was no fan of Senator Daines for basically forcing Tim Sheehy into the race and making Matt Rosendale and everybody else step out of the way. I would have rather seen a more competitive primary.
See, I was because I like to stay out of primaries mm-hmm. just because it's like, my goodness, especially these legislative ones. Whoa, man.
Yeah.
There's going to be some contention probably that'll last through January, kind of like what was suggested earlier. But I think in this race, it is the most important race in the country. We couldn't wait until now to get started. We needed to start a year ago. And I think that's what Tim did. And I think if Matt maybe had jumped in a little bit sooner, maybe things might have played out differently. But I think he waited too long to really get in, and it was too much. I'm in, I'm out, I don't know. And then,
right.
So, yeah, but I felt like, man, this is where everybody just needs to get in the fight earlier on. But either way, hey, primary's over now.
I mean, the thing is with the way politics is waged now, for better or worse, Tim Sheehy is Shady Sheehy. I mean, they put together a campaign against a guy that it's killer. And the only way to overcome that is for people to say, I don't care what Tim Sheehy's point of view is on policies or anything else. I'm going to vote for him because he's the guy being attacked by establishment Washington. And I don't want establishment Washington telling me who to put into office.
Well, and you said it too, like, okay, you can't trust a word coming out of John Tester's mouth. I think we can all see that now. He said he was for the Keystone Pipeline. Well, where is the Keystone Pipeline? He said he worked with whoever to secure the border. Then why isn't the border secure? I mean, all these things. It's like you've been there since 2006. It's nearly 20 years later. All these things you say you are for, you failed.
Right.
I mean, so
they sell him as a moderate Democrat. And then when you look at his record, he votes with Joe Biden 97% of the time. So if you like Joe Biden, if you like the inflation, if you like the border collapse, you know, go ahead and vote for Tester. But if you want to restore sanity to our public policy, you can't do it.
That's right. Well, Frank, keep the mic on if you can. If you want to stick around a little longer, let's bring Bob Heron, the insurance guy, into the equation here, too. Bob, great to see you. And first off, thanks for your support for KJJR and B Broadcasting and everything. That means a lot. And that's what keeps us on the airwaves here in Kalispell. Anyway, what do you want to share with folks?
Well, a lot of things. But how about a shout out to Ray Queen and Chris Gillette and what they're doing for young people's baseball, the Sluggers baseball, and they have travel teams. They're going to have a big tournament this weekend out at Glacier Park Field.
Glacier Bank Park Field, yeah.
So they're doing a great job. And just to follow up on what Frank said, hopefully you have a kill button, because when I see those Tester ads, and they're also on the KJJR radio, because oh, sure. That's all I listen
you
to.
You have to run them. Well, they
right.
You're required to air them. Yeah, yeah.
They're just shameful. And a little bit of information. I was just talking this morning to an insider in the Sheehy campaign, and Tim will be at the Border Patrol event tonight.
Nice. That's great. Yeah.
So anyway, I got a lot to say, Aaron, as always, but I'll shut up for now.
Hey, well, that's great. Well, and also, you know, the Range Riders baseball team here in town, and I still need to go see that baseball field as well.
Yeah,
Maldonado, good to see you.
Yeah, I snuck back in. Something I was told by the commissioner of baseball for the Pioneer League that our baseball field, he said, is the best baseball field in the nation. It's number one. It's been voted number one. And then I asked him frankly, I said, listen, come on. Number one. He goes, there is not another ball field in the United States that is anywhere even close to our ball field. Not one.
Is it the beautiful view? What is it?
Well, if you step into that ballpark, which next time you come up, I'll get you in there. It is, if it sat 80,000 more people, it'd be a national ballpark. I mean, it is that nice.
Just
absolutely gorgeous.
Mountains and everything.
You can see the mountains, and it's just perfectly manicured. It is just, I mean, the facility itself is just the best facility. Like I said, you'd have to go to a major city and go to a major ballpark to get anywhere close to it.
That's incredible. Well, and I was at Ogren Field where the Paddleheads play in Missoula. Beautiful field. We were there for the Fusion fights, you know, MMA fights taking place.
Yeah.
And right there off the pitching mound. And then Dealer Park in Billings is a beautiful baseball field, too, with the rims in the back.
You come back next time and you sit in there and you will lose yourself in the absolute beauty. And you'll feel exactly like you would if you were sitting in a national ballpark.
Well, and what if we could sit on one of these side-by-sides or one of these dirt bikes or one of these jet skis here at Penco Power Products?
Well, you know, I'm going to give a shameless plug. You know, Vaughn told me that he didn't want to. This was all for you and all for the people of Montana to have a place to broadcast. But
this is incredible.
He has a side-by-side deal going on right now, up to $7,000 off. He's overstocked. I don't care if you're sitting in Plenty Wood or Broadus. It'd be worth $7,000 off to come to Kalispell, Montana.
And then you get to come to Kalispell.
Yeah. Seriously. And then you're in Kalispell. You have to try out your side-by-side.
That's right.
You'd have to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, right here, Penco Power Products. And, real easy to find, too. And so right down the street from where this border security rally is going to be tonight.
Yeah.
I wonder if Chief Clem, can you hear me over there, Chief? You got me, Lima Charlie, a little bit there? He's probably shot too many guns. He may not be able to, but he might pop over here for a last closer of the segment as well. Eric Maldonado, great to see you. Lucas Schubert, the young man, you pulled it off. An upset win, big numbers in a House Republican primary. Good to see you in person.
Thank you. Yeah, good to be on. And I didn't expect it to be by how much it was. It was 60-40. You know, I was thinking if I were going to win, it'd be a couple points here, maybe 55, 53. But, yeah, it was large. So I think that proves that the real conservative movement is very popular, and I think that we're going to be taking a lot of wins going forward. The main thing that I wanted to talk about, though, I don't know how much time we have here, is the ranked choice voting ballot initiative that Democrats and liberals are trying to push onto the ballot. That is a very, it is going to change the election system across the board in every race, not just the Senate race, but the congressional race, the state legislative, the courts. It is a serious thing that we need to be 100% opposed to.
To quote Barack Obama or Joe Biden, it will transform our elections into something else. And as you can see, by our border, our foreign policy, our economics, that's not a good something else that you want to see. All right, Lucas, stand by. We'll come back to you after the break. And then I'm going to have Frank Mealy throw a question to Chief Clem.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So I'm going to have the great Frank Mealy throw out a question to retired Border Patrol Chief Chris Clem, who's with us here to close out the hour. He's at the Border Security Rally in Kalispell tonight, Great Falls tomorrow, Bozeman Thursday, Billings Friday, but I got to hear him speak last night. I'm telling you, this guy is a warfighter. First, so let's go quickly back to Lucas Schubert, a state House Republican candidate here in the Flathead Valley. Lucas, again, congrats. You're not even 19 years old yet.
And not yet.
Won a big primary election.
So. I'll be 19 before the general, though. Don't worry about that. But, yeah, no, I so just to expand upon what I was saying earlier about the ranked choice voting, you know what? This is backed by AOC, and you can look at a state like Alaska where it recently got implemented too. In Alaska, they hadn't sent a Democrat to the House in 50 years. The first election with ranked choice voting, a Democrat won, despite not getting the majority the first round. So that it's very concerning, and it's across the board. So, yeah, just got to be 100% opposed to it. But, yeah, no, thanks for having me on here.
He's in the fight on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it as well. How do we follow you on X again? I already got you there, but how
just
do other people follow you?
Lucas Schubert, LukasSchubert. Just look it up, and I should come up.
All right. Get some coffee or a donut over there.
That's the plan.
Or a side-by-side while you're at it. $7,000 off here at Penco Power Products, as we heard. Okay. Frank Mealy, thanks for sticking around. You were talking about border security in the early 2000s. When George W. Bush was still president, what would you throw out a good question here? I know you can to retired border. First off, welcome to retired Border Patrol Chief Chris Clem. Great guy.
Hi, Chris. My main thing, assuming Trump gets in, if Trump doesn't, then obviously all hell breaks out. But if he gets in, his policy is going to be mass deportations. And I really want to know how that can, you know, be accomplished. And I don't know whether you've talked to anybody in the incoming administration about it or not, but what's your thinking about whether that is a feasible policy?
Yeah, great question, because it's been coming up. And, yeah, I've talked to some people that are close to that inner circle. You know, we've seen the polling. There's a lot of Americans that are in favor of that, especially with this recent influx that has happened over the last few years. It will be a logistic challenge, but it can be done in limited scope and done very strategically, because you know you just can't round up everybody. But what you can do is you can go after, in target, like those that have outstanding orders of removal by judges. Those people in the law enforcement, federal immigration world, those were bag and baggages. They've been ordered removed. They don't get a second appeal. We go after them. That's an easy group to go after. Obviously, if we encounter any undocumented, we could go after them. But they would also, you know, due to, you know, jurisdictions and proceedings, they may have an opportunity to appeal. The parole, those that have been paroled, now the executive owns the authority to parole somebody in place, and it's being completely abused in this current administration. But the executive can start a parole date and they can end a parole date, and there's a group of people that they could remove out of the country. The biggest population that's going to be the hardest to target are those that are in removal proceedings, because they're protected by due process in our Constitution. Whether we agree with it or not, that as soon as somebody crosses the border illegally, they have constitutional protections. And if they're put in removal proceedings and their hearing is already scheduled, whether it's a month or 10 years down the road, we just can't rip them out of that. So that's going to be kind of the challenge. But I think if we actually put a plan in place, it is done progressively in the sense in a positive way, like we're going to do step one, step two, step three, and people are put on notice and we actually implement it, I think that's going to send a very clear message, and we may even give people some opportunities to depart voluntarily to avoid that. But it will be a logistical nightmare. But I will tell you this, there's probably 18,000 Border Patrol agents that would love to get their CDL license to go get giant buses if we needed to. And I know a few retired folks that may want to be signed up as an annuitant to be part of that operation, because we have to get that taken care of. That is something that needs to be done, but we've got to stop the leak first. You know, that's where we've got to continue to put the push on our elected officials to actually secure the border, because it's a public safety and national security issue. We do have to clean up the stuff that's here. But if we go and clean out those that are here and we're not fixing the leak, it's just going to backfill. That's what's happened for years, you know. But it's going to be a logistic challenge. But one thing I know is that where there's a will, there's a way. And if we can get the backing of our elected officials and backing of state and locals, we could make a big dent in that.
Yeah. President Eisenhower managed to do it without a lot of opposition. Yeah. Back in the 50s, and I'm hoping that the precedent of what he did then will be helpful to the Trump administration to get through the legal morass that will surely follow.
So can you imagine what has happened now? We've had people arguing on TV. I saw yesterday because somebody referred to him as a legal alien. Eisenhower's operation was Operation Wetback. You cannot.
Really?
That's a legitimate operation, so I'm not saying anything that's offensive. Yes, that word's offensive nowadays.
Yeah.
But that's a legitimate operation where they went and round up people. So there's a precedent for the President of the United States to order that, because the President does hold those powers. We got to make sure that when we do this, we have a plan, it's backed, and it's very clear and transparent how we're going to do it, so we can fight the enemy that's going to push back the mainstream media, the advocates, and things like that.
That's right. Frank Mealy, thanks for joining us. Chief Clem, folks, I know you're like, man, I want to hear a lot more from this Chief Clem guy. Well, you can tonight in Kalispell. Go to Secure Border, SecureMontana.com. Hey, I'll be at the Army-Navy store in Evergreen around lunchtime, and then at the Water's Edge Winery and Bistro 4 to 6 tonight. Come see us. We'll have